there is one other voice from the region, not able to be physically present, but someone who has sent a substantial communication to us to support this endeavor, and that is Prince Hassan of Jordan, who has written to us. And I think we have a copy of that letter to read, if you'll allow Harry Hagopian to read what Prince Hassan has said to us.
Thank you, Archbishop. A lot of you know His Royal Highness Prince Hassan personally, and those of you who don't know him are probably quite well aware of the immense work he has done in interreligious and interfaith work, not least the Majlis al-Hassan, the Hassan Council, as well as other organizations. I would take him a little bit further back in time and in history, where he used to be the head of the Royal Institute for Interfaith Studies in Amman, which has actually worked diligently toward trying to bring the three monotheistic communities, the three religions, together. And I would go even further back when my dad, and he used to be a patient of my dad's in Jerusalem, used to tell me that he used to come to Jerusalem and Father Tournay of the Dominican order used to teach him French in Jerusalem during the Jordan rule. So it's a pleasure, actually, to share some of the thoughts that Prince Hassan brings to this conference for the simple reason that he can't be here. And it's addressed specifically to the two archbishops co-sponsoring this conference. Dear archbishops, it was with much interest that I heard about this timely coming together on Christians in the Holy Land, and with much frustration that I discovered I would be unable to attend. My son, Prince Rashid, happens to be getting married very close to the date of the conference. It was in Amman in 1999 that I first became the moderator for the World Conference of Religions for Peace. That same year, with eminent representatives of the monotheistic faiths, the Foundation for Interreligious and Intercultural Research and Dialogue was formed. The aim of the foundation was an attempt at the most authentic message that these three monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam can give to the world of the 21st century. The foundation published the three holy texts as a single set of books, which were presented to His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI in Rome in February 2007. The foundation has also created a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Geneva, whereby several fellows, each possessing a PhD in theology, history, or another humanity, could research and publish together, not so much to create understanding, although that is important, as to create intellectual appreciation and, crucially, goodwill. I should also note that on the 17th of July, the Royal Institute for Interfaith Studies in Amman is holding a conference entitled Religious Minorities and Mass Media in the Arab World. The conference intends to look at how the media narrative towards religious minorities regionally and globally is too often dominated by accounts of sectarianism or dramatic portrayals of the other. I have proposed to institutions such as RIFS that they do more to share information and develop a conversation, and it's his favorite theme, conversation, with like-minded institutions and individuals in the UK and beyond. Despite the good things that are being done, however, it cannot be denied that 12 years ago, many of us would have hoped that the situations of Christians in the birthplace of Christianity might have been significantly better than the one we see today. Christians in Iraq were already leaving en masse before the massacre of the Church of Our Lady of Salvation in Baghdad last October. I have long pointed out in interviews in the UK and closer to home that in the Eastern Arab world, Arab means Christian and Muslim. And yet the sad fact is that sectarianism has not gone away. We all remember the outrageous attack at the Coptic Church in Alexandria on none other than New Year's Day. In Egypt, the anti-sectarian Tahrir Square revolution was followed by riots between Copts and Muslims. In the seat of Christianity, the old walled city of Jerusalem, there are less than 9,000 Christians today. Over the past few decades, the proportion of Christians in the Middle East as a whole has dropped from 25% to around 5%. The upheavals currently sweeping the Middle East may well make Christian minorities feel less, not more, secure. So the panic felt by you all is real. It is also one, I should add, that is shared by Muslims. Arab Christians were the custodians of the Arabic language during a long period of decline and helped pioneer the Arab awakening, the Nahda, of the 19th and 20th century. In short, Christians are not simply part of the Middle East's rich religious patrimony, but an integral part of its history, its culture, and its civilization. The many differing shades of Christianity in this region only constitute a minority in the quantitative sense. Qualitatively, Christian communities have always contributed to virtually every aspect of life, from education to business to medicine and the arts. They have always been stewards, and we talked about stewards, which we call in Arabic aqhah, and not guests. I do not believe that mutual knowledge solves all. Some of the bloodiest and most brutal conflicts are often played out by those who know each other only too well. Neither do I believe that the doctrinal differences of the three Abrahamic religions can be resolved, even if I personally believe that they have far more in common than divides them. Instead, I find myself reflecting on the long and seemingly forever unwinding tapestry of our shared experience, a tale of conquests, squabbles, and great wrongs, but also triumphs that has brought us closer despite everything. It seems that the destinies and aspirations of the faiths are intimately intertwined. Christians in this region, the Middle East, are entirely understandably have at times been the first to forget that they have always been here. This is what I meant when I said in a recent piece entitled The Middle East, Harder to Bear, that Christians of the East have to do more to develop their own storyline. On the Sinai Peninsula, at the mouth of a gorge at the foot of Mount Sinai, lies a monastery called St. Catherine's. Many of you, I'm sure, may have heard, if not seen it. The monastery was built by the Emperor Justinian I in the 6th century. Next to the Vatican, the monastery library preserves the second largest collection of early codices and manuscripts in the world, among them the important copies of the Aktiname, a document in which the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is claimed to have bestowed protection upon that same monastery. Cultural and civilizational self-righteousness have no place within any religion, especially Islam. Those who preach violence and hatred in its name, or claim a monopoly on the truth, are from a quite different tradition. They are not simply perverting the teaching of the Quran, they are defacing an element of their own heritage. But it's also so easy to forget, amidst the headlines, so many stories of coexistence, intimate stories which play out in the streets of Jordan and Lebanon every single day, although we might not always read of them. It remains my hope, even though I personally may never see it, that Jerusalem will become a place of peace, a true global city above politics. In order to do that, perhaps, we should start thinking less and doing more. Perhaps instead of speaking of understanding and coexistence, we should begin quite simply by working together with each other towards common goals in our local communities. In education and charity, can we not work together? Who wants to see Jerusalem in the state it is in today? The human face of Christianity, of Islam, of Judaism, so often remains hidden, but each in simplicity and silence is in a way undeniable and greatly needed. I was once told that the lodestar of Judaism is the law, the lodestar of Islam is justice, and the lodestar of Christianity is love. I cannot think of a region of the world more desperately crying out for all three. That Christians have been made to feel that there is no room in the inn in the Middle East is frankly appalling. As a Muslim, I hope that the Christian community will persevere and forget. And I assure you that our prayers are with you in a spirit of brotherhood. Dear Archbishops, my warmest greetings, El Hassan bin Talal. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Harry, and I know we're all very appreciative of Prince Hassan's interest and support.